Morning, everyone. Good to see you all here. It's good to be here with you all. If you would, take out a Bible and turn over to Luke chapter 18. Our study will begin there in just a moment. Luke chapter 18, where we'll consider verses 9 through 14 to start us off here in just a minute. As we consider for this morning the ideas of confidence and humility. I appreciate the song that was just led a moment ago. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Not yourself will lift you up. He will lift you up. That's what it's all about today as we consider confidence and humility. Because these words, they sound like opposites, don't they? Confidence, that's described as a feeling of belief that one can rely on or trust firmly in something or someone. For example, I have confidence that this elevated platform and support my body weight while I stand on it, and I wouldn't fall through the stage mid-sermon. I hope that wouldn't happen, but I'm pretty confident that it won't happen. Maybe I'll be proved wrong one day. We'll see. Humility, on the other hand, that's described as modesty. That's a low view of oneself. For example, if you were to ask me what I thought about certain gospel preachers, then I'm going to tell you several names before I ever get to myself. There are so many guys in the preaching scene that I look up to, guys that I listen to, guys that I am inspired by. I ain't going to bring myself up in that kind of conversation. That's humility. That's an example of humility. Confidence and humility may on the surface look like opposites. But what if I told you that these things go hand in hand with one another? That these things can be synergized in our relationship with God. That these things should both be present in our walks with God. Furthermore, we're told in Scripture of the importance of humility. That God wants us to recognize that we're only human. That we don't have all the answers. That we aren't always going to be the strongest. We only have so much power. But in the same vein, we are to be confident. Not in ourselves, not in our abilities, not what I can do, but in Him. And that confidence translates into our actions. Both of these, this confidence and this humility, must be present in our lives. Again, confidence and humility go hand in hand with our walk with God. If one is lacking, there is going to be an imbalance. We'll talk a little bit about that in each point today as well. If there is imbalance, we must recognize this, it no longer becomes godly. Because without confidence, humility becomes something worse. Self-deprecation, anxiety, depression, dark feelings against oneself. On the other hand, without humility, confidence becomes arrogance. It becomes pride. It becomes hubris. So let's talk about confidence and humility and how they both play a part in our relationship with God, in our walk with God. We'll start with humility because this is the one that God puts a lot of emphasis on in the Scriptures. And it's also something that gets a bad reputation among the worldly people. Humility is looked at as a negative quality in the world. And it can be complicated to grasp if not properly understood. So when looking at the importance of humility in Scripture, we're given a lot to think about. And let's look at the verses in Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14, where we're, of course, given a great example of what humility looks like in the eyes of the Lord. As a matter of fact, because this is coming from Jesus, the Son of God, you can almost say that this is definitive humility. Let's read the passages here. Jesus Christ gives the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector in verses 9 through 14 of this passage. And it says, He spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves and that they were righteous and despised others. So He recognized they had problems in their hearts. So let's set the record straight, Jesus says. Verse 10 beginning, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Red flag. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Very arrogant prayer, don't you think? What's the tax collector doing? Verse 13 and 14. Tax collector, standing afar off, will not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this is Jesus speaking, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. This is Jesus definitively showing what humility looks like in our walk with God. The tax collector, the sinner, the swindler, the con man, Jesus said, was justified in the sight of God. Why? Because he humbled himself before God. When he came into the presence of God, he could not do anything. He could not look up. He bowed himself low to the ground. We call that prostrate. He was down to the ground, his face to the ground. And you can see through the words that he said, the shame that he felt before God. He did not feel worthy to be before God. If you were to look at his mind, he was probably thinking, I'm not worthy to be before God. I'm not worthy to see God or to speak to God. I'm so far beneath him. I shouldn't even be in this temple right now. Remember, he said he stood afar off. He had such a low view of himself. That is humility right there, brethren. It is derived from a Greek word that means lowliness of mind. It means modesty. It means a deep sense of one's littleness. To humble ourselves means to bring ourselves low, just as this tax collector did, recognizing our place in the grand scheme of things, recognizing just how far beneath God I am. And we cannot really measure that because we recognize God is unlimited. His power unlimited. His presence unlimited. He's all around us at all times. He's so far beyond us. We're also told not just to have humility with God, but to have humility with one another. We've seen before in passages of Scripture, such as Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, which says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, humility, let each esteem others better than himself. That phrase, lowliness of mind in the Greek, is humility. That's all one word, lowliness of mind in the Greek. That means humility. This verse shows us the importance of having humility before one another, recognizing that it's a willingness to let myself come second sometimes, to let the needs of another be more important to me in this moment than my needs. When a brother comes to me with a problem, am I listening? Or am I thinking about my problems and comparing them to his? Like it's some demented competition. Being humble before one another is a willingness to recognize that I am not the main character. You ever hear that phrase thrown around? Main character. Like you read a book and you see the main character. That's what we think about ourselves sometimes. We think of ourselves as the main character. And that can translate into our actions. That can translate into how we treat other people. That can cause us to step all over people if we think that all the way through. What does God say, though? We recognize that with him there is no partiality, that there is no favoritism, that we are all his equals. We are all equals of one another in his sight, I mean. We are all precious to him in his sight. What right do I have to say that I'm more important than you? What right do you have to say that you're more important than them? That's not right, brethren. Humility means that I recognize my place. I recognize that we're all souls, precious in the sight of God, and that my need can come second when I see that you have need. Paul also says in Romans chapter 12, verse 16, I'd like to read from the English Standard Version from this passage. Romans chapter 12, verse 16 in the English Standard Version says, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. My life should not be set for earthly glory. My life should not be lived in such a way that those around me are put at a disadvantage because of me. But as a Christian, I am not to make myself more important than others, but be in harmony with them. Harmony with them. Of the same mind with them. We are of the same body, brethren. We are all under the head, which is Christ. We are all pieces of the puzzle. We are all parts of the body. We are not more important than one another. We make up the whole. We are equally as important to each other in the sight of God. That's harmony, brethren. I am not above you in any way. You are not above me in any way. My glory, my opinion is not more important. Being on the same page with one another, that's important. Being right in the sight of God together, that's what's important. Making sure we're doing what's necessary so that we are all getting to heaven together, that is what's important. I must not get a big head, especially not in my relationships with you guys. Something we can all do so that all of us can be humble before God and before man is learn to be humble behind closed doors. What do I mean by that? Consider this. When we're behind closed doors, the world suddenly becomes quiet. We're in our safe space. We're in the place where we can cater to ourself and ourself alone. The worries of the world seem to vanish away when we're in the comfort of our own home sometimes. But it's in this safe space that we can enter these dark thoughts, that I get a big head, that I think of myself as more important, that whenever I leave that safe space, that whenever I walk out into the world, I can conduct myself in such a way, like we said earlier, that makes me look like I think I'm the main character. But when we're behind closed doors, we should make sure that we're putting humility as a priority in our lives. Because don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with taking care of ourselves behind closed doors, but if we let that get to our head, we will carry that out into the world around us. We will carry haughty, prideful, and self-important attitudes where they do not apply, even before God. So when we're behind closed doors, when it's just me and God, let me make sure that I'm being humble, that I'm putting on an attitude of humility, so that whenever I leave, others will see humility in me. Micah records in Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Walk humbly with Him. This is my walk of life, is to recognize that He's taking the lead. He's the one. I follow Him. His will be done, not my will. Paul would also say in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. What does that mean to put on? That word there is the same word that's used to put on clothes, to array yourself. My humility must be known to others. When they see me, what do they see? Do they see that someone that's competing for a place in their life, competing for attention from them, competing for attention online? Or do they see someone that gives the glory to God? Do they see someone that lets God get the glory? That I'm just a person that serves God, that He is the reason I breathe every day of my life? Is that what they see? Or do they see someone that's trying to get attention? Everything I do should be for the sake of obeying God, for the glory of God. Haughtiness, pridefulness, those are worldly attitudes, and they have no place in our walk with God. If we array ourselves with those, what does that tell us about our relationship with God? It doesn't tell us much, because from the world's point of view, you're the most important thing to yourself, not God. So we humble ourselves in the sight of God. That's what we're supposed to do. But we humble ourselves with confidence in Him. Let's look at humility in a new light by considering it going hand in hand with confidence. Again, while these may seem like opposites, we can see the importance of both being present. Because if we are all humility without confidence, it can lead to all kinds of dark mental torment, depression, anxiety, feeling overwhelmed, feeling not good enough, self-deprecation. This is not the humility that God wants. This is far beyond humility. It's something else entirely. Because it takes God out of the picture. It takes God's presence in your life out of the picture. But spoiler alert, God is the one that ties humility and confidence together. Consider Moses in Exodus chapters 3 and 4. Situation. Israel in slavery in Egypt. They cry out to God wanting to be set free, and God is willing to set them free. But He elects the help of Moses to lead the people out. And so in chapters 3 and 4 of Exodus, God appears to Moses in the burning bush, speaking to him, saying, "You're the man. You're the one I want to lead Israel out of Egypt. Be my representative in the eyes of Pharaoh. Face Pharaoh for me." How does Moses respond? Chapter 3, verse 11. "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" Verse 13. "What shall I say to them?" Chapter 4, verse 1. "Suppose they will not listen to me or my voice." Verse 10. "I am slow of speech, slow of tongue." Verse 13. "Oh Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send." Is that humility? Moses was called the most humble man of that time. But this went far beyond humility. It went so far beyond it that God is saying, "I'm with you. I am there for you. I'm going to give you what you need to speak to Pharaoh." Every time Moses was self-deprecating, was saying, "I'm not good enough. I'm slow of speech. I'm this, that, or the other." That's humility without God. And it becomes self-deprecation. The doubts went on and on. The self-deprecation went on and on because Moses was not the right kind of humble in this moment. Right kind of humility means, it does not mean that you have no confidence, but it means you know where to put your confidence, that being in God. Well, let's talk more about that now. Let's look deeper now into what confidence means and what it looks like in our walk with God. Because confidence is another element that is clearly present in Scripture, but we often look at it as the opposite of humility when it is in fact not the case, but another aspect of our life with God that goes hand in hand with humility. So let's talk about the importance of confidence in God, because that's what it's all about. This is where it all gets tied together. Because sure, we may have confidence in ourselves from time to time. However, what's the problem? The problem is we're human. We're fallible. We're going to mess it up. We don't have all the answers. We assume, we theorize, we think. The fact of the matter is we don't know the answers. We are so small and minuscule in comparison to God. And it's silly to think that we have all the answers, to think that we have all the strength in the world. Earlier in Darren's prayer, before the Bible class, I appreciate how he addresses. Sometimes we think that we feel invincible and bulletproof. That's not an attitude that we should have. That's not the confidence God wants. God wants our confidence in him. Paul would write in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. He says this recognizing that God is the one who is due glory in all things, even the gospel message being received, which is the context of this passage. But think about that phrase. Our sufficiency is from God. Where I may fail, where I may fall short, where I may not have all the answers, where I may think I'm not strong enough, enter God. God is the one who does not fail or fall short. God is the one who has all the answers. God is the one who provides our strength. One thing that is evident from Paul in this passage is that his confidence does not lie in himself. Does he have reason to be confident in himself? Absolutely. We can look throughout Scripture and see all the good that he has done. And we can see that he may, if he had a big head, he would have reason to boast. But where does his glory go? His glory goes to God. Where is his confidence in? His confidence is in God. Because another thing that we read in passages of Scripture is that he was human too. That he had a thorn in his side. That he needed prayers for boldness to preach the gospel. This goes to show how he had to deal with things that were outside of his control and things that he could not fix. But did he lose his confidence? Does he shrink away from what he's supposed to do in his apostle? No. Why? Because his confidence was in God. Always. Never in self, but always in God. Confidence in God is the most important confidence we could ever have. And he wants us to come to him in confidence. What do we mean by that? Consider Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Here in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16, the Hebrew writer tells us that because we pray through Jesus, we can go to him in boldness. It says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We can go to him in confidence. He wants us to come to him in confidence, knowing that he will answer us. Because there are going to be times where we question everything, where we question existence, where we question our purpose here, where we question our relationships, our situations, our circumstances. God wants us to come to him in confidence, knowing that he has the answers. There are going to be times where reality, where living life feels too hard, where it's not worth the living, because we're consumed with stress or grief or loneliness. God wants us to come to him in confidence, knowing that he gives us peace. When we feel empty, when we feel like something is missing, when we feel that things are not right in our lives, and we have no one else to turn to, God wants us to come to him in confidence, knowing that he can fill the void. It is important that we believe in God fully. And I know that as many of us as are here probably believe in God. But is that reflected in how we pray? Or do we think that he won't answer us for one reason or another? Rather than remove all doubt from your mind and from your heart. As we said before, man is fallible. Now, sometimes I think we carry past burdens of someone who failed us, someone who betrayed us, into our relationship with God. That should not be there, brethren. God is not a man. God is not fallible. God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That you can come to me with anything, with all prayer and supplication and thanksgiving before me. We can come to him with our petitions, no matter what that may be. And from the moment we rise up from that prayer, we know that we can have confidence in God in all things, in all days of our lives, in all the situations we'll face, in all the things that we'll endure. We know that God's there. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, and I know we all know this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He says this after saying he has learned how to live within his circumstances, whether positive or negative, because he trusts in God. He trusts in Jesus Christ. His confidence is with the one that is far above all creation itself. And despite being far above all creation itself, he still hears us and sees us all and is listening to us all. The idea of being able to do anything through him gives us something to praise God about always. Why? Because there is nothing more poisonous to the mind or to the heart than I can't. Can't is the devil's word. You can't overcome this temptation. This prayer of yours can't be answered. You can't be worthy of God. You can't be worthy of heaven. You can't win. That's all devil talk. And it has no place with us. God has made himself available to us so that we can come to him about anything. We can find confidence in him. And we know that even if I can't, he can. And even if I can't, he can provide me the strength to do so. Or through his providence, he will give us the means to do so. God will change your I can't into I can. We must recognize this with him. Because when circumstances come our way, and when they tear us down, what do we do? Do we complain? That's childish, brethren. Do we try to change our circumstances? Maybe. We try. And sometimes it goes well, and sometimes it falls flat, and we fail. Sometimes the circumstances don't change. Sometimes there are factors beyond our control in our circumstances. That's where we go to God. God is the one that changes circumstances. Remember we talked earlier about Moses? He was about to change all the circumstances of Israel. They were trapped in their captivity in Egypt. And God was about to change their circumstance. That's what God does. That's what God can do. And we must put our confidence in him rather than ourselves when we deal with circumstances, especially the ones that are beyond our control. But again, let's look at confidence in another light, because we must recognize the importance of confidence hand in hand with humility. And really, it's been alluded to in past points about confidence, because maybe a dead horse, but maybe you noticed that all the confidence we talked about up to this point is not self-confidence. Self-confidence did not come up at all. Our confidence goes to God. Our confidence is in God. It is not in me. I am going to fail. I'm going to slip up. I'm going to trip. I am going to make dumb decisions. God That's the one I need to go to. That's the one I need to put my confidence in. The one who is infallible. The one who has the answers. Is self-confidence a good thing? Depends. But what happens when we're too self-confident? That can lead to arrogance. We become arrogant and we think of ourselves as too good for certain people. We think of ourselves as more powerful than we actually are. We do think that we're bulletproof sometimes. We stop listening to criticism. We think we can rule the world. We think the world owes us, that it revolves around us. And above all, we become so arrogant that we glorify ourselves instead of God. Remember the Pharisee we talked about in Luke chapter 18? How he stood before God, and he stood before him and patted himself on the back. Look at all the good that I do before you, God. I do all this, that, and the other. Really? You know how laughable it is to go to God with the little few minuscule good things that we've done while God has an entire universe of good things that he's done? A whole book of a timeline of good things that he's done and how we can see the good that he's done in each and every one of our own lives? The little bit that the Pharisee boasted about is minuscule in comparison to what God has accomplished, the good that God has done. He holds the Bible in one hand and the entire universe in one hand and says, you have no argument. The wise writer, he tells us in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 12, before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty. You know what that means? If I follow through with my pride and my hubris, it will be my downfall. But the humble, before honor is humility. God honors the humble. Again, Proverbs 29, verse 23, he says, a man's pride will bring him low, but the humble, the one who's already low, who's lowly in mind, who's lowly in attitude, the humble in spirit will retain honor. Is there any room for arrogance in our lives? Absolutely not. Our confidence must be in God and not in self. When we get too confident in ourselves, it will lead to these. And we will be brought low and even to destruction. When we foolishly think that we have all the answers, and we do not consult God, and we act without him, that's when the plenty of problems arise. And with no recourse, because we rejected God, because we thought that we were better, that we used our pride instead of our humility. So to sum it all up, let's look at confidence and humility like this. Confidence and humility are best synergized when we put God on the pedestal of our lives, bowing before him in reverence, knowing we are nothing in his sight, but knowing still that we can confidently come to him in all things and find strength in him. We can have confidence in the one who sees how low and how powerless we are and is still there for us, that he still lifts us up when we come to him in this lowly state. Peter himself says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. That's what it's all about right there, brethren. We humble ourselves before God. We recognize our place before God. We offer him the praise, the glory, the honor, and the reverence, not self, because he's the one that deserves it. And then in turn, he lifts us up. He's the one that exalts us in due time, in his perfect timing. In his perfect timing, he will answer. He will provide, despite how low we are. And how far beneath us we are, how far beneath him we are, he still cares about us. He still looks to us. with care for us. And his care for us cannot be matched. His love for us cannot be matched. So we know that we can have confidence in him. We know that we can come to him about anything humbly, yet confidently. Because of this care that he shows for us, what is stopping us from humbly, yet confidently, going to God daily? He is the one that provides. He is the one that has the answers. When I go into a situation not confident of the outcome, what do? I go to God. I'm reminded of the servant of Abraham in Genesis chapter 24. Abraham sent this servant to the homeland to find a wife for his son Isaac. He takes the long journey there. And what is the first thing that he does when he arrives? He prays. He consults God. And what does God do? Check out verse 15. And it happened before he had finished speaking that, behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with the pitcher on her shoulder. Those words, those first few words is so important there. Before he finished speaking. He knows our hearts. He knows where we're going when we come to him. He knows what we're about to ask him before we even ask of it. And so while he's still asking God, while he's still praying to God, God is putting all the pieces in place. Tell me, does that not exude great confidence in him? Does that not tell us I can put all my trust in him? All my confidence in him? He is working in our lives and in the lives of others for good. So, be humble in the sight of God, knowing that he is above all things, that he is in control of all things, and put your confidence not in self, but in him. As the wise writer says in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 26, in the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge. We are his children, and we have a place with him. He invites us to come to him in humility and reverence, but have confidence in him, in his promises, in his power. He is worthy of our reverence. He is to be number one, and we have to humble ourselves. Take ourselves off the pedestal and give that place to God, in whom our confidence lies above all else. My question for you this morning is he where your confidence lies? Does your confidence lie in him? Or does it lie in self? Or does it lie in another? Or does it lie in this world around us? Or does it lie in your job? Or does it lie in your career path? The right answer is God. If our answer is not that, we must take a look at ourselves. Take a look at our lives. Take ourselves off the pedestal if we need to. Make sure we recognize that we are so low in the sight of God, yet we have him in our lives. He is present in our lives. He chooses to open the way to him. He's there for us. Every single one of us. Every single day of our lives. Every breath we take, that's God. That's a gift of God right there. And so every day of our lives, we should give him the glory. We should give him everything that's bothering us, everything that's holding us down. Humbly coming to him and saying, God, I need help. I have no one else to turn to but you. I have no one else that can help me like you can. God is the one, brethren. Put your confidence in him. Stop putting all the confidence in yourself, but recognize that he is the one that's worth all your confidence. So humbly go to him. Humbly stand in his presence. Humbly bow before him and put him on the pedestal of your life. If you're here this morning, I extend the same question to you. What do you have confidence in if you are not a Christian? If you are not a Christian, we want to encourage you to become one today. You've heard the word today or in the past and you've come to believe on it. We encourage you to act on it, to repent of your sins, God will forgive you of your sins if you repent of them. If you confess the name of Jesus as the Son of God, the name of the Savior as the Son of God, and then be baptized. Once you're baptized, you will be washed away of those sins. All those sins. You can be confident in God, knowing that He has provided the way to salvation. And once you rise from those waters of baptism, you're free to walk a new life with God, humbly yet confident in Him, knowing that you've been saved, knowing that you're on the road to heaven, knowing that He's there for you when the troubles come. And for those of you who are Christians but have fallen short in your life, again, God is there, and He wants you to return to Him. Repent of those things. Confess them to God in prayer, and He promises to forgive. We have confidence that He will forgive. So humbly go to Him, admitting your guilt, admitting your sin. And if you feel the need to confess before your brethren here and now today, we'll pray for you. We'll pray with you. We'll show our love to you, because we've all been there. We've all done that. And we're all trying to get to the same place together. Make your life right with God today. If you're subject to the invitation or need prayers of this congregation for help in any way, please come as we stand and we sing.